The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small-batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk Radio. And let's help each other feel good. I've got a great show lined up for you today. I've got Sean Wells. He hasn't been on in a few weeks. We're going to be talking about the future of food. And also Colin Stuckert. He's the CEO and founder of Wild Foods. We're going to be talking about a wild guide to medicinal mushrooms. So we've got a great show lined out for you. And Ronaldo, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm alive and I'm here.
You're alive and you're here? Well, yes. You know, it's weird still for me working from home. That may change here recently with, some of the bans being lifted as soon as May 1st, which is Friday. I can't believe it's May already. But so we joined the thousands of other broadcasts that are doing just that, broadcasting from home. So it's getting better, though. You know, first, like I said, I was really weirded out, but I'm really kind of enjoying it. Like right now, I just stepped out on my patio. I'm looking down at Charlie Boy, and he's wagging his tail at me. And it's fun, kind of. Sort
finally
of.
Finding your finally well, finding your element.
Yeah. Well, yeah. First of all, you have to find a place where you're comfortable doing it, and then a place that you've got some space. I'll actually take a video during the break. The show. I've got books everywhere. Everything from TED Talks to your body's main cry for water to the China Study cookbook, and I just bought the most recent copy of the China Study. It's revised and expanded. That's one of the things that we're going to be talking about with Sean Wells today is the future of food. And because there's so many different opinions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, some people eat meat, some people don't. Some people eat, no dairy, but yet they eat eggs or fish. And so it's really all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of fish, a really great movie that I watched the other day.
What was that?
Okay, so you remember the movie Splash with Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah?
Yeah.
The very young and hot Tom Hanks, I might add. But John Candy, too, who, God bless his soul, he passed a few years back. But what a great movie. What a John great Candy, family movie. You remember that?
Yeah, she was like a mermaid, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a mermaid. And it's just so well done. And it's actually refreshing because it's an entertaining movie for adults, but yet, I watched it with my 15-year-old daughter and I wasn't uncomfortable because there wasn't like a lot of nudity. I mean, she was naked, but unlike movies of today, they
right.
didn't really show it.
Right, right.
And, there's a lot of messages in it. Speciesism, in a way is addressed there, kind of in an abstract way. And, just the way we think about animals and the power that the government has. And, why did the feds think that they had a right to hold a mermaid?
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of those 80s movies was like that, too.
What's another one? I can't even think of another one right now. What's some of your great, your favorite
me on the
movies
spot.
From the 80s?
A lot of Eddie Murphy movies.
Oh,
I like
yeah,
his movies
yeah,
from
yeah,
the
yeah.
80s. Beverly Hills Cops.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
48 Hours.
48 Hours. Yeah, and I liked all the Godfather movies. You know, they're always classic.
Good ones
and I think
too.
Casino. Casino's probably one of my all-time favorite movies, too, with Robert De Niro.
You know, I like that one in Goodfellas.
Yeah. Do you remember do you remember the movie Casino and the blueberry muffin scene?
I do.
He that's one of my favorite scenes because I'm kind of like that. You know, if you're going to do something, do it really well, or at least try your best always, which is of course one of the four agreements. You know what the four agreements are? Have you ever been on the air with us when we talked about it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's a great book by Miguel Ruiz, I believe, is the author. Don't assume anything. Don't take things personal. Always do your best and be impeccable with your word. And it's a great read. If you've never read it, anyone out there, it's basically a great Bible to live your life to. In so many ways, it's just packed full of really great information. But, you know, I'm anxious to get the show started. I really am. So I'm going to go to break. And when we come back, we've got Colin Stuckert. As I said, he is the CEO and founder of Wild Foods. We're going to be talking about a wild guide to medicinal mushrooms, not the magic mushrooms, although, you know, I don't think they're so bad either. We're not talking about those. And we have Sean Wells. He hasn't been on in about, I don't know, 5 weeks. We're going to be talking about the future of food. You're not going to want to miss this show, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Everyone, this is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we've got Colin Stuckert coming up here in just a second. He is the CEO and founder of Wild Foods. He's obsessed. The company absolutely is obsessed with the truisms of health. Colin lives his life based on ancestral mindset. By understanding our evolutionary past, he believes we can reverse our failing health through a consciously designed lifestyle. He is on a mission to save as many people as possible from the dangerous dogma promoted by bad science, big pharma, and big food. Their website is wildfoods.co. That's wildfoods.co, or you can find them on Instagram at wildfoodsco. Always a pleasure. Colin Stuckert, how are you doing today?
Well, he's not on the line just yet.
He's not on the line just yet, okay? No. Well, you know, that happens. Well, you know, medicinal mushrooms are something that that have been around since the beginning of time. You know, we talked about ancestral mindset and ancestral health many times on the show with the whole paleo movement thing going on. But when it comes to mushrooms, I think there's typically two types of people, those who like mushrooms and those who don't. So I'm going to ask you, Ronaldo, who are you? Are you the guy that likes mushrooms or the guy that doesn't like mushrooms?
I just started liking them. I didn't like them at first, but then as I got older and started eating them more, I liked them.
Okay, so I love the flavor of
like
mushroom. Yeah, what about the texture? I'm a texture person, and the texture kind of bothers me, and I don't know. What does the texture bother you?
No, I like the taste more, especially when they're sautéed, when they have some taste to them, sautéed with onions.
Well, you know, there's a, you know, people think that that mushrooms, how do I want to say this? That mushrooms are the only, well, first of all, they're not a vegetable. They're not a vegetable, and people think they're a vegetable, but they're really not. But other vegetables like onions, broccoli sprouts, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, and mushrooms all do one thing. They support methylation detox pathways. And so by bringing these foods into your diet on a regular basis, you're actually supporting detox and naturally making your life like kind of like a cleanse. And I was just reading that out of Dr. Will Cole's book, The Ketotarian, because we've talked about this before. Also, you know, mushrooms are an adaptogen. And there's a lot of different adaptogens, too. And hopefully we can talk about that when we get Colin here on the line in a minute. But we got him?
Yes.
Okay, good. Hey, Colin, how you doing?
Hey, I'm here. Didn't want to interrupt.
There you go. No problem. Yeah, so good to have you back on the air with us. You know, let me reintroduce you if somebody just jumped in their car. So Colin Stuckert is the CEO and founder of Wild Foods. He is truly obsessed with the truisms of health, and he lives a life based on ancestral mindset. You can find Wild Foods at wildfoods.co. They are absolutely on a mission to save as many people as possible from the dangerous dogma promoted by bad science, big pharma, and big food. Okay, so today, Colin, we're talking about a wild guide to medicinal mushrooms. So first of all, what are medicinal mushrooms for those that don't understand or don't know a lot about?
When people think of mushrooms, they probably think about what you were just talking about, like the white button mushrooms and the ones that you saute in a pan that are kind of spongy, you know, and I agree with you on the flavor. You got to cook them down a lot. That's the key. But medicinal mushrooms are actually usually very woody, very hard, and they're not something that you could consume when you find them out in the wild. What you do is you take these hard mushrooms and you extract them, which is basically like making a bone broth. You take either alcohol and or water. In a lot of cases, you actually do both. You cook it down for a certain period of time to remove a lot of those beneficial compounds, and then you dry that into a powder so that it can be consumable for humans in a powder form. You can put in smoothies, coffee, tea, or even recipes.
Well, there's been an explosion of this because everybody's looking for a better way to live. Clearly, we are sick as a nation for a lot of different reasons, and we really, really need to look to nature to heal us. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, just to add a caveat there, it's the idea that our culture can just take a pill or add some mushroom powder to their poor diet or lifestyle and it be a fix. You know, that's part of the flawed thinking. And that's why Wild Foods, we like to spend a lot of time focusing on getting people in their kitchen, cooking real ingredients, and then using something like mushrooms to get that added extra boost or benefit.
Well, and I'm looking at one of your most popular products here. I have it on my desk, the Cocotropic. It's a wild superfood elixir. It's got the raw maca, turmeric, the wild chaga extract, and the reishi mushrooms. So it's got two different mushrooms in this particular product. Why did you pick those two particular mushrooms?
Yeah, they're both very popular, and so they're kind of two of the top mushrooms that people are taking right now for functional and medicinal purposes. There's actually quite a few, but these are some of the most potent and most heavily researched. So the thing about mushrooms is they're one of the most heavily researched substances on the planet, with something like 70% of pharmaceuticals being derived from the mushroom kingdom. And so that's part of what's fueled the popularity over in the West is, you know, while these are really good for pharmaceuticals, maybe they're good for just everyday purpose, and they've thus become a consumer product. Now, as far as chaga and reishi go, they are just two of the very heavily researched mushrooms. And specifically about each one, chaga itself is actually not a mushroom. It's kind of an interesting category. It's actually known as a canker that grows on birch trees, but it has a lot of the same properties that medicinal mushrooms do. And so it's kind of been lumped in that category as a mushroom as well. But they're just both really amazing for immunity, for health, for really everything. When it comes to mushrooms, like, they basically make you a better human. You know, there's so many benefits to list that it's hard to really identify, you know, one. I just basically tell people that this supports you being a better, more healthy human.
Well, the two of the ones that are in this product are also adaptogenic mushrooms. And I'm reading from Dr. Will Cole's book again, Ketotarian. He says that within the adaptogenic kingdom, there's also an extra special group of medicinal mushrooms that offer some of the same hormone balancing benefits as the preceding adaptogens and some extra immune boosting qualities too. In this list, chaga is one of them, and reishi, there's shiitake, haimamashashuktak, I'm sure I butchered that, lion's mane, turkey tail, and cordyceps. So why, these are so powerful, and I know that you have each and every one of these adaptogenic mushrooms and formulas on your website, right? And so can we talk about the power of adaptogenic mushrooms specifically?
Yeah, so the idea of an adaptogen is that it's going to help your body adapt to stressors better. So it's something that, again, like, it's going to support your health. It's going to support you for your goals. It's not going to take place or be a magic fix or be a pill you can pop to just, you know, patch over your poor diet or lifestyle, right? So the best way to think about these are really the way they should be. They're supplements that you can supplement to a diet and a lifestyle that is holistic and covers all the bases. And these are just going to give you an added boost and potentially have some longevity effects and protection against certain diseases that may, or, you know, may contribute. You know, you can't really say these things cure these things, but you could say that they might contribute based on certain research that's out. And there has been a lot of research, and I still feel like we're actually scratching the surface. I think in the next 10 or 20 years, you might even have some actual mushrooms like this that are actually patented and then get into the pharmaceutical industry. And I kind of hope that doesn't happen, right? But I think scientists still doesn't really know how powerful and potent these are. And you can just see a lot of case studies and a lot of people that are doing amazing things with them. So it's just one of those things that you can't really overdose on. And it's just like a really awesome thing that I think everybody should take pretty much.
Okay, so what are your top five that you suggest? Or maybe there's 10, not five, but what are the top ones and which ones are the most beneficial overall?
Yeah, you basically listed them out. It's reishi, chaga, turkey tail, cordyceps, and lion's mane.
Okay, and do you have a formula with all of those in one, or is it best to separate them, you know, depending upon it is you're trying to address?
Right. Yeah. We have a formula that has them all, which we actually launched later on when we realized that people were usually just combining them themselves. So we got, you know, and a formula with all five of those. But if you are trying to use the mushroom for a certain purpose, like let's say reishi, which is actually a calm aid and can help with sleep, then you might not want to have something in there like cordyceps, which might give you a little bit of an energy boost. So like if have specific needs, you can have the individual mushrooms. But then if it's just for general health or maybe like in your morning smoothie or coffee, I do the 5X just to get them all in there because they're all going to be beneficial and it's not really going to do anything that's going to conflict with my day ahead.
Well, and they can be very, how do I want to say this, supplementally specific. For example, I remember seeing on the shelf somewhere recently about, and I don't remember which mushroom it was, but specifically targeting the immune system, the liver, a liver cleanse, like all these different things. It's actually pretty fascinating.
Yeah, that was probably reishi, actually. It was either reishi or chaga.
Okay, well, so how did you become so interested in mushrooms? What started that in you?
That goes back to my origin story of just when I made that connection between the foods I was eating and how I was sourcing and wanting transparency into, you know, what I was putting in my body and how that there was a connection there to how I slept, how I performed, how I looked. And when I made that connection, that first principle, that light bulb moment that went off, it was like, okay, obviously the better quality of the ingredient, the closer to nature it is, the better I do. And then I just went down that deep dark rabbit hole of trying to find each product that could support health and that I would use on a regular basis and just find the highest quality I could of that and just kind of stick to that as part of my routine.
Mm-hmm. What are some other products that you're excited about at Wild Foods? Any new ones in development?
We do. We actually just came out with a prebiotic probiotic, and then we actually, speaking of mushrooms, came out with a mushroom complex that actually has 8 of the mushrooms. And so it has a couple more of those less common mushrooms that are still beneficial that just don't have as much crust around them. And so those are two I'm pretty excited about. And really, I've also been thinking about just keeping it simple for people and just kind of getting down to the basics. So, it's the fish oil. I take that religiously as well as give it to my son. Take the collagen religiously. And then when we have stock of the Cogotropic, which we were out of stock for quite a few weeks, that's also a staple in my routine.
Have you implemented any other nutritional supplements during the COVID-19 crisis that we're going through?
Yeah, I've been experimenting with some elderberry, and we're actually, that's another one I forgot to mention we have in the works, is an elderberry complex, which has been super high in demand for obvious reasons. Yeah, and so I'll get you a bottle of that when that comes out.
Oh, I can't wait. I just actually bought some the other day. I bought Gaia, the nighttime one, because I do feel that that's a really good brand, and it's produced in Italy. So I believe that the Italians do things really well.
Well, actually, their food quality standards are very high. They have some
of the most strict
standards for destination and protection around their cheeses and mozzarella and Parmigiano Reggiano. It's actually really fascinating. I feel like we should copy their model over here in the States. That'll never happen.
No, absolutely. In fact, that's funny that you say that because Parmesan Reggiano is one of the things that I really have trouble giving up, and I only eat very little bits of it because I'm truly like about 95% vegan. But I saw like a little trick in a label trick that they had at a grocery store the other day where it said Parmesan, but it wasn't Reggiano. It was Parmesan Reggiano or something like that. And I'm like, they're trying to, you know, that's false because Parmesan Reggiano, as you know, is produced in a certain specific area, a region in Italy, and it is known for hundreds of years of being one of the finest cheeses on the planet. And with some really great bacteria, I might add.
Yeah, grass-fed cows, small batch, completely controlled, no pesticides, nothing artificial. They do it right over there. I mean, you know, we could take pride in our food system and produce certain things and really protect it because, you know, if we could make the connection between health and also just quality of product, flavor, texture, like when it's a quality food product, it tastes better. It's better for you. It's better for the environment. You know, everybody wins. And, you know, hopefully we can move to that model and fix our broken food system. But that's a topic for another
day. And if you do... Yeah, no, it's right now are some really crazy times, too. But, you know, I appreciate you jumping on the air with us. I really do. Any final thoughts you want to get out to our listeners about Wild Foods?
More just get in the kitchen. Take now as an opportunity to try some recipes or, you know, pick up that hobby or that thing that you were putting off. And I just think people cannot be sitting at home all day and sitting in front of a screen and buying into the news cycle and worried about what may or may not happen. I think people need to get outside, get cooking, spend time with their family, build routines. I mean, now is actually, if you look at habit research, it's the perfect time to give yourself like, you know, the 30, 60, 90 days to build really good routines and then make them stick. And then you'll have those for the rest of your life. So I would just take advantage of this opportunity.
Absolutely. And, you know, after all, man has been using mushrooms for centuries to remedy all kinds of various illnesses. They've been chopped, ground, chewed, boiled, brewed into tea and mixed into food to cure everything from the common cold to fatigue. I'm reading that off your website. So, everyone, check them out at wildfoods.com. Colin, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Take care of yourself and have a great day.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got Sean Wells coming up. We're going to be talking about the future of food. Stay tuned. One Life Radio is what you're listening to. Right now, I'm live on the radio from home, and I've got Sean Wells on the line. We're going to be talking about the future of food. He is a registered dietitian, certified sports nutritionist, fellow in the ISSN, and has his Master's of Public Health in Nutritional Biochemistry. He has been dubbed the world's greatest formulator of dietary supplements, and Sean has been on television, documentaries, radio, podcasts, and spoke on all stages all over the world and is one of the most respected experts in supplements, nutrition, keto, and biohacking. He has used keto, fasting, supplements, and biohacking to overcome a pituitary tumor, autoimmunity with hepatitis, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Hashimoto's, and Epstein-Barr, along with depression, obesity, and more. And now he's here to help you. Our dear friend, Sean Wells, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Vern?
I'm good. I'm sitting here with the door cracked. I got lots of fresh air coming in, you know, broadcasting from home on iHeartMedia. So it's really cool. You and I have not been on the air together. I was trying to remember when's the last time we were on air together. It's been like, 8 or 10 weeks. It's been a while.
Yeah. The world's turned upside down, but it's cool that we're both doing it by the phone and getting it over the airwaves.
And getting her done, right? We're getting her done one way or another.
Yep.
Yeah, I am pretty proud of the fact that we have remained live through all the adversity over the last several months. I'm pretty proud of that. And you should be too, because, you know, we do our best to try to bring as much good information as we can to everyone out there listening. And I can't think of a better guy to do it with than Sean Wells. He's been on the show since almost the very beginning. And I want to let you know that if you miss the show, you can always go to our website, onelifradio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. And you can also listen to our podcast on all podcast apps. Or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And so I was in the New Sprouts in our neighborhood the other day, Sean, and so I picked up the newest revised and expanded edition of the China Study. And, of course, I thought about you because we've talked about this book many, many times, both on and off the air. So I thought it was really interesting. And so when I picked it up, one of the first things that I opened up to is a chapter about heart disease, and it says, "The future is filled with hope. We now know enough to nearly illuminate our most common type of heart disease. We know not only how to prevent the disease, but how to successfully treat it. We do not need to crack open our breastplates to reroute our arteries, and we do not need a lifetime of powerful drugs in our blood. By eating the right food, we can keep our hearts healthy." So, Sean, you know, in light of the recent passing of your brother-in-law, he was only in his 40s, mm-hmm. and nearly your own brother as well, just a few weeks ago, I know that those statements that I just read from the new revised edition of the China Study really lights you up. So what do you say about the future of food?
Well, it's enlightening in that we can look back at your dog in the background.
Charlie. Charlie's barking at the
No worries. But it's enlightening that we look at, like, epidemiologic data like this. Like, it was not only China in the China Study, but also England. But in China, they typically do eat mostly vegan because it's expensive to eat meat. And yeah. They certainly are known to eat healthy, live longer, but there's a lot of factors to me in that as well, in that they're very active. They're not nearly as sedentary as us. They don't eat the processed food that we do, especially now it's called ultra-processed food with yeah. all these engineered ingredients to make us overeat. And so that's like all those are massive, but I do think eating whole food like they eat is a big part of the equation.
Well, you know, what you just said, some of the words you used, like, trigger things in me. For example, you know, the animal abuse that goes on in the factory farms. There should be no such thing yes. as cheap meat. There shouldn't. Meat is not cheap. Animals are not a commodity. They shouldn't be. They are living things that need to be respected, like they have going back to ancestral times, which is, I know that you believe in those principles. I know that you do, even though you are a meat eater, I'm not. But that doesn't mean that we can't find some common ground here, right?
100%. And I think part of that is that we're so removed from the process of how food is made or farmed, or, you know, how we get our food. We just go in a grocery store or we go in a restaurant and we don't have any idea of how to garden. Or how we would raise animals on a farm, and we're just yep. too far removed from that, so we don't have a sense of what it means to be abusive, not only to animals, but abusive in a way to the planet and right. The food that we're eating, even with plants, you know, by spraying them with insecticides and herbicides and GMO versions of them, and, you know, over farming the soils and, you know, things like that.
Well, yeah, and I think it's created an entitlement, especially here in America, because anytime you get or think you deserve anything that you want, when you want it, if you want it now, you create an entitlement in a human being, which is bad in itself. No one should walk around on this earth and feel entitled, and certainly not about food, and certainly not when it involves the life of other living things like animals.
Agreed. I totally agree with that.
Well, so, you know, what's your view on the vegan movement that the world seems to be embracing?
I think, you know, it's fascinating, and I think it's a good thing. Like, I am a paleo-style eater and encourage that. And I think vegan is a part of paleo. Like, there's days that uh-huh. I eat pretty much only vegan because it is whole food. When you say plant-based diet, that's a really important distinction over even vegan. And that's been like a new term because you could eat gummy bears and Coca-Cola and be quote unquote vegan.
Right.
And well, so it became that plant-based diet is important. Sorry, what?
No, no, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I get so excited when I talk to you because we always have such great conversations. But, you know, another tagline made plant-based or vegan. One of the reasons they had to come up with plant-based is because food has become so political. And so saying plant-based is not as offensive as saying vegan because there are some connotations or ideas surrounding the vegan movement where people feel that people that are vegans think that they're smarter or better than everybody else. And that simply is not true. At the very root of the vegan movement are people that are just, they love animals so much that they can't even fathom putting the piece of an animal, a muscle or anything in their mouth. It grosses them out. And so, and not from a judgmental way, but just from a personal way. That's how I feel.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are involved in a lot of these terms and diets, and it definitely gets very explosive at times. So
agreed.
But yeah, plant-based is a good distinction in that it does encourage not just avoiding animals, but we're avoiding anything animal-based, but literally having whole plants in your diet that we know are nutrient-dense.
Yeah. Well, how important is it, Sean, because I think people lose sight of this, too. They lose sight of the quality of food, the quality of the food that you consume and less of it, and also how important it is choosing a wide variety of foods.
Agreed. And again, like, I think getting back to the way we used to eat, to your point, it would have been hard to eat a lot of meat even in the past, even if you are, carnivorous or whatever, like it would be hard to catch it, get it, and consume it. So as you see with most of these other cultures throughout the world that are, less industrial, they eat certainly more plant-based, but they don't definitely eat over-processed foods. And so I love this movement of paleo or vegan, where we're seeing people eat food as it was meant to be eaten hundreds, thousands, millions of years ago by all species on this planet. Everything's changed in the last 100 years, and not for the better.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is a good time to go to break. We've got lots more coming up with Sean Wells. We're talking about the future of food. And if you're just now joining us, you're listening to One Life Radio. We will be right back with more coming up with Sean Wells. He's just now joining us. Mr. Wells is a registered dietitian, certified sports nutritionist, fellow in the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and has his Master's of Public Health in Nutritional Biochemistry. You can find him on his website at seanwells.com, and that's SHAWN Wells.com, or on Instagram at the at ingredientologist. That's the ingredientologist on Instagram. Okay, we're talking about the future of food, and there's so much I want to get out. You know, we eat for survival. We eat for pleasure, boredom, nutrition, all these things, but we must eat to survive. So the future of food, you know, Sean, let me ask you this. Do you think that the future of food will be more engineered? Will we have engineered superfoods, do you think?
Yeah, and that's a tough part of this is like, you know, GMO, some people think can be a good thing when you're adding nutrients and, you know, some things that certain cultures might be deficient in, like, you know, when you add certain B vitamins to rice or, you know, things like that in GMO, we can also see be potentially not as healthy. And, you know, I'm reading about, you know, obviously like the Beyond Burger or Beyond Meat and all these things, like have a lot of ingredients and people questioning, is this healthy? And we're not sure. And yeah. You know, there's also like these cell cultured meats, these meats that are grown in labs that, you know, wouldn't hurt animals, but you know, like what is it we're eating? And it's hard to know like what the long-term ramifications of some of this would be. And again, it has us pretty removed from the ecosystem and interacting with these beings, be it plant or animal. It's an odd future. It's hard to say. I think we're getting more savvy, but so aren't the people engineering the foods.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the book, The China Study, which is kind of what we're going over today, there's a new revised and expanded edition, and we've talked about this book many times in the past. I know that you wanted to touch on sugar here in a minute, so this is kind of connected. Type 1 diabetes, and here it talks about the case of type 1 diabetes, where the immune system attacks the pancreas cells responsible for producing insulin, and this devastating incurable disease mostly strikes children, creating a painful and difficult experience for young families. And what most people don't know, though, is that there is strong evidence that this disease is linked to diet, and more specifically to dairy products. And so would you like to elaborate on that as the Master of Public Health and Nutritional Biochemistry guy here on the show with us? What would you say to that? And as a registered dietitian, what about type 1 diabetes? Is that true?
With type 1 or type 2 diabetes, are you saying?
Well, both. But they're talking about type 1 diabetes and the connection to the ability of a cow's milk protein to initiate type 1 diabetes. And it's well documented.
Yeah. And again, like with our kind of industrialized food supply, there is some concern that there might be growth hormones and antibiotics in the dairy when you're not getting like farm fresh milk, for example, that could be causing that issue with type 1 diabetics when introduced early on. Mm-hmm. There has been a correlation to that. So it might be more complex than just dairy per se. And then certainly with type 2 diabetes, I mean, that's just absolutely 100% related to our diet and us having way too much sugar and way too little exercise.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Well, and just by the way, a little side note that the RBGH and the RBST are both made by Monsanto, the same ones that are behind the genetic, you know, the atomic bomb, genetically modified food, like all these things that have really destroyed our health, really, really destroyed.
Roundup,
I was, you know, on all of our vegetables, it's in our children's cereal, you know, we've got all kinds of bacteria from from just overproducing milk in our cows. They're not meant to. That's, again, they're forcing nature to do things through chemicals that our bodies don't even know how to receive or process these harsh chemicals that are really destroying our health. I have not heard that, of the connection to the diabetes in particular, potentially being because of the RBGH or the RBST. That in itself makes sense to me. Because when you start connecting the dots, you really do see a whole other world of nutrition, don't you, Sean?
Yeah, well, it's partially because of the gut isn't fully formed in a child until they're about 2 years old. And so when you're introducing some of these things to a child, they can like essentially get into the bloodstream easier. So it could be much more potent when they have things like antibiotics and growth hormones, et cetera, introduced before the gut is fully formed.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about sugar, because I know you're so passionate about this being at the very root cause of so many diseases that we deal with. So let's talk about sugar.
Yeah, and sugar is pretty insidious. I mean, we eat like several hundred pounds a year. Like basically our body weight in sugar a year. And, you know, it can come in all kinds of forms. Some, you know, might be called maple syrup or coconut sugar or cane juice or cane extract or maltose or glucose or dextrose or sucrose. There's like so many names that you have to be aware of. And then beyond that, there's so many foods that essentially are sugar from being high glycemic, highly processed foods. Your body mm-hmm. sees them the same as sugar. And that's like white bread and you know, crackers and, you know, like things like saltines and mashed potatoes and mm-hmm. a lot of the things we eat essentially are sugar to the body.
Yeah. Well, and is that why the ketogenic diet, do you believe, is so powerful to, you know, heal the body from diseases like epilepsy and cancer and such?
That's it. Like, I, you know, and that's why I don't think the ketogenic diet is as necessary in other cultures, but we're so metabolically broken because, mm-hmm. you know, whether we're not aware of like what we're eating or we're just over consuming them because they're addictive. But sugar is essentially like crack for your brain. Like, you know, they've shown it's very similar to cocaine in
oh,
terms
yeah.
of how your brain lights up with dopamine and serotonin. And so people are addicted to it. And then when you add high calorie foods, high fat foods with high sugar, it's really a recipe for disaster and certainly heart health and type 2 diabetes and a number of diseases. So to pull sugar out of the equation and give yourself an alternate fuel source and, like you said, let your body repair can be very helpful from that metabolic damage that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've only got about a minute or two. And, you know, I'm looking in this book again about the importance of fiber. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah. There's two types of fiber, soluble and insoluble. Soluble can create it ferments in the gut and creates butyrate, which helps with gut health, helps keep healthy bacteria in the gut. And then insoluble fiber helps with transit, just help moving things through the gut so that you have healthy bowel movements and, you know, have enough bulk. And so they're both important. And it's just, that's a great thing that you get when you have a plant-based diet or certainly
yeah.
more plants, is that you're getting plenty of fiber in as well as the nutrients.
Right. Well, I hear the music, which is disappointing because I really have enjoyed talking with you today. It's great to be back on the air with you. Sean Wells, thank you so much. I appreciate you jumping on and providing us with such incredible content today. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, you guys, you can find Sean Wells at seanwells.com or on Instagram at the Ingredientologist, not the V, just at Ingredientologist. I got to get used to saying that word. Everyone, have a fantastic day. Get out there and make the most of it. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and be contagiously positive.